Hello and welcome to USSOcast, a US Studies online podcast. Here we chat to PhDs, ECAs, researchers and writers working in American studies about their work, their life in academia, and all things in between. I'm Sarah Collier, and today we're joined by researcher and author Sharifullah Durrani. Sharifullah is the author of the acclaimed America in Afghanistan, which analyzes US policy decisions in Afghanistan over 20 years. And earlier this year, he published his first novel called The Lone Leopard, which we're going to talk about in a bit more detail today. Sharifullah is currently South Asia and Middle Eastern editor at the Center for Strategic Research and Analysis. So welcome, Sharifullah. Thank you for appearing on USSOcast today. It's nice to have you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It really is a pleasure to be on your podcast. Thanks a lot.
So it's your first novel, and you have a background in academic research as well, having published American Afghanistan. So could you tell us a bit about The Lone Leopard? What's it about? What was your inspiration to write the novel?
Okay, yeah. It's basically when I was a very young man when the civil war of Afghanistan started. It was when the Mujahideen took over Kabul in 1992. And we at the time thought that the peace and security would be established forever, and the war ended. The Mujahideen, who we supported, most Kabuli supported, took over, and the so-called pro-communist government was gone. So we were really happy, and then a few days into their power, the war broke out between the different Mujahideen parties, and we had to basically go to our basement. There were 12 families from our block, and then we all went to the same basement. Basically, it was a block of flats. The neighborhood is called Makrorian. It's a very it's a good neighborhood in Kabul. Everybody knows that neighborhood, and so basically we stuck there, and while the war was raging, and we were there for weeks. And at the time, I thought that if I make it alive, I would write about my experience. And I was lucky that I made it alive, and 18 years down the line. So I started to write The Lone Leopard. That was in 2010. And then I had to do my PhD. So it was basically, I postponed it. And then I started full-time again after 2018. And then I managed to have it published in 2022. So over that 12 years, while I would go to the novel, and when I was researching for my PhD and for my first book, America in Afghanistan, I was trying, I was also researching for the novel, or trying to edit chapters or bring changes to it in accordance with my research. So yeah, the book is basically based on my personal experience, as well as years of research, including consulting nearly 1,000 sources, and also interviewing some dozens of Afghans from all walks of life. And the book is basically about how and why the historical events came about in Afghanistan and what impact they had on the people of Afghanistan. That's why the novel is set under the Russian, American, and Taliban spheres of influence. I'm hoping that once the Western reader reads it, they will see for themselves the way things have been in Afghanistan.
I think that it comes through as well, given that it's written in from the first person perspective of a character called Ahmad. And you can sense a very closeness to that protagonist. But it's also just as much about Ahmad as it is about a young woman called Frishta, right? Frishta. And I thought it was an interesting way to write about the experience of women over that period as well, from the 90s up to the contemporary period. I wondered what your motivation was to write about Frishta as this complex character with a very complex background.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, at the heart of the novel is four characters. Ahmad, Firishta, Wazir, and Bakhtash. But Ahmad and Firishta are the main characters. Firishta is purely a work of fiction. And as I was writing the novel, she just took over. I am concerned about the rights of the Afghan women, particularly now even more, and the way they are or they have been treated. So that was one of the reasons that I included Firishta, so that she could speak for the Afghan woman, because I thought she was a woman and she could speak it best. But at the same time, I also included the character of Moor, or Mother, who is again, an Afghan woman who is quite traditional. So, and that one scene between the two of them, that both of them talk about women's rights, but from different perspectives. And this is the case. We have traditional women in Afghanistan. We have quite progressive women. And Firishta is, quite progressive. She's outspoken. She's brave. She's the human rights activist. But at the same time, Moor is traditional. And she talks about, she tells Firishta that she agrees with what Firishta says, but in order for the rights of women to be there, in order for all these good things to happen, you have to have the preconditions for it. And that's not yet there. So yeah, so to come back to your question, I included Firishta just because I wanted to give a voice to the Afghan woman. And I also wanted to show that if a woman is giving a voice and giving a face and let join her brothers in all walks of life, we could see what good things she could do for her country. And we see that in the novel. And there are, I don't want to spoil the story, but we know what things Firishta achieved that nobody could think of, or nobody could imagine. Even Ahmad says, I would have never imagined that she would become such a person that she is now.
Absolutely. And the ending is quite, again, for fear of spoiling anything, I'll tiptoe around it. But the ending is quite moving, ending with Firishta. And I wondered, also, how long did it take you to write the novel? When did you finish writing it? And did it take a lot of revision given the withdrawal of US forces last August and all of the implications that had on women's rights?
Absolutely. I think the novel overall took me 12 years to write. It took me quite a while. English is my fifth language. So some words, I looked for them for days, the right word to find. It was how difficult it was to find the right word, the right vocabulary. And secondly, because of the research and life as well. So I'm a father of three children. Life is sometimes really busy. But it took me 12 years to finish it. And yes, the novel was when the US left Afghanistan last August. So the novel was still in the writing process. And I was not going to change the ending. The ending was something different. But if I stuck to that ending, that would have meant that I would have, that the women of Afghanistan would have failed, and the Afghanistan itself would have failed. So what I thought I would stick to this ending, which is, it's not the ending that is what we see today. But mind you, that there are still women, and they are, there are thousands of Firishtas on the streets of Kabul, and they are fighting for their rights. And I'm hoping that the ending, what I have for the novel, will one day come.
Yeah, and I wondered with that, given that Firishta is kind of symbolized through this image of a leopard, and she's sort of constantly referred to in those terms as well throughout the novel. What was the motivation between describing her like that? What's the significance of the symbol of the leopard?
Finding the right name for the novel was one of many struggles. initially I was going to call the novel The Little Moscow of Kabul, which was referred to the place where Makrorian, where, you know, that place was quite progressive. It was built by the Russians. So this was the initial name. And then I was going to call it, and then I didn't do that because that would limit the novel to just, you know, to a specific geography. Then I was going to name it The Brigadier's Daughter. Then didn't work. It kind of sounded military. And there were many other names. Initially, it was called A Non-Healing Wound. And that, you know, I thought, hopefully one day Afghanistan's wound would heal. So why should I call it that? And I came to, and then The Lone Leopard was just the right name for the novel, because Ferishta is as brave as a leopard. But in her quest where she wants to go, she is alone sometimes, or at least it's felt that she's alone at the time. So especially from where she starts. And basically when I just got to that name, I thought that's a great name, because although I write from Ahmad is the protagonist, he's the first narrator, but I just love her character. And when I read it the last time, after it got published, I read it, and that speech at the end, she just moved me to tears, actually. So that is why I wanted her to be, because at the end of the day, the novel is, it could be, somebody asked me what it is, and I thought, is it a woman's fiction, young adult fiction, coming of age, family drama, war drama, romance, everything. It fits all of those categories. But for me, it's a historical fiction, and the rights of women is at its heart, I think. I think that's what it is.
Definitely, yeah. And to go back to what you were saying about Moore as well, I really liked her character too, and I really liked the relationship that she shares with her and Ahmed. I thought that was sort of my favourite relationship going through, and how it develops over the novel. Another key theme to touch on, all of the genres that you wanted to position the novel with, something that really struck me about it was the theme of youth and growing up, and all of the different paths that we take, and how these paths are shaped by struggle and adversity, but they're also shaped just as much by affinity and love and joy. And I wonder if you could talk a bit more about that, especially in the relationship between the four main characters.
Yes. One of the main reasons I wrote this novel, I had the Western reader in my mind, but I also had future generations of Afghan in my mind. I wanted to tell them not to make the same mistakes that we have made. And hence, I had those friends with four different backgrounds and also different perspectives. Ahmad is a very traditional boy. He wants to dutiful. He wants to obey by the Afghan traditions or by the Afghan culture. Wazir is a similar character, but he's radicalized. When we see him, he's already radicalized. And that is incidentally the beginning of what the problem started in Afghanistan. Although I talk about radicalization in 1992, 1990s. It went back to 1960s and 70s. That's why those books came into Afghanistan, different books from the Soviet Union, from Pakistan, Iran. One was radicalizing people to become communists. The others were telling people that you should teaching them a very strict interpretation of Islam. And there were other aims behind those, because they wanted to destabilize Afghanistan. And then we have Ferishta, who is very progressive when it comes to human rights and everything. And then we have Bakhtar, who is, you know, in brackets, a cool boy who just wants to live his life, wants to have a good time. And that's why I put them together in that in the drama. And then I wanted to see how the events of Afghanistan, the the important events of the past 4 decades, including the invasion by the Soviet Union, America's intervention, and the Taliban, will have on them. And you know what happens as a result. It's them and their families, and we know what things happen to their families, to them, and how that impact their relationship. At the end of the day, they are just human beings. They just want to live normal lives, but they cannot because of all that foreign interventions that come in and distract their lives. Otherwise, a year before that, as I explained in the novel, there was no tension between Bakhtash or Wazir. Bakhtash didn't care whether Wazir was Shia or Sunni or what, nor did Bakhtash, care about these things. But it develops in the tension, and then we see what happens. And this is something that Ahmad takes to his heart. He feels guilty throughout the novel because he also played a part in that. And that's why by then, when we see Ahmad, he says, I do not, whoever comes to me and says, let's fight for Islam, he says, he knows that Islam is used as a means, not as an aim, because we're already a Muslim country. We do not need to fight for that. Whoever comes and tells them, let's fight for human rights or women's rights or democracy, says, I know there are other aims behind that. So he becomes quite cynical by the end of the novel. He says, okay, I also wanted to tell the future generation that perhaps we've in trying to democratize Afghanistan, we perhaps went a few steps forward, or we went very quickly. We didn't have the preconditions for that. And also the interpretation of Islam that is at the moment imposed on us, or when the Taliban were trying to impose it, or the other Daesh or ISIS group is trying to impose on Afghans or other Muslims in general. This is not the interpretation of Islam that we know. Islam is a religion of peace, a religion of brotherhood, a religion of respect, regardless of who you are. But this interpretation is not allowed because it doesn't serve those who want to, use Islam for their political purposes. That is, to answer your question, that's the main thing of my book that I wanted to teach to the other Afghans and perhaps others as well, to see exactly how Afghans are really friendly people, really, really friendly people towards all the nations. I don't think the war with America would have taken place, would have become that severe, or with the Soviet Union. But there were others behind it that they wanted to show. They wanted to interfere in Afghanistan and make it look as if America was there to steal Islam from the Afghans. And this was not the case. And I explained that in the novel. And also, a big part of the novel is set in the sphere of Taliban. And you know how things are there, how people are brainwashed on a daily basis. And they are still the case. So that was the main purpose of the writing this novel was basically to show it to other people, to the Afghan generation and to the Western audience that what sort of people we are and what sort of a country Afghanistan is.
That's something that I really took from it was that, yes, it's a novel about America, American presence in Afghanistan, Soviet presence in Afghanistan, but it doesn't let that continuous presence strangled the narrative, and it feels like it pours itself into Afghanistan and Afghan national identity. I think that often, especially in the West, our conversations about Afghanistan, about the US war in Afghanistan, forget that that this isn't a story about the US. This is a story about Afghanistan and about Afghan people. And I think that's something that the novel does really nicely, is that the US kind of is there. It's humming along in the background, and it becomes more and more present as the time moves on, and as it starts to focus on the time of the US occupation. But it also, it doesn't take the center stage. And the novel wants to bring forward human stories and human voices against Absolutely. What we would think about as like geopolitical noise, I guess.
Yeah, I think that is what it is, yes. Although reading the novel, particularly for a Western reader, American reader in particular, they will find out why the Afghans were fighting and the reasons for that. And I wanted to show that really clearly, because I did a lot of research, you know. Well, that was, of course, part of my other book as well, America in Afghanistan, you know, why the Taliban were fighting and what were they, and, you know, and in reality, as Ahmad says it in the book, the war, and I also included another character, which is called Professor. The professor, he is a very knowledgeable man, and he tells the Taliban leaders, he says, listen, what you think if this is a war about Islam, this is not a war about Islam, because Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is a religion of love. Islam doesn't accept war. It's basically it's a drama, and Karzai is the villain and you are the hero, Karzai is the villain, vice versa, from whichever perspective you see it. But it's a war about politics. It's a war about geopolitics. It's nothing to do with that. So why you kill innocent Afghans? And then he asks him as well, what if you become in power? How are you supposed to work with the international community? And these questions he asked, believe me, that scene was written in 2012. So it comes back 10 years later.
Yeah.
And this is what we've been suffering in Afghanistan. The Taliban government is unable to work with the international community. It's been isolated. And as a result of that, the 35 million or so Afghans who live in Afghanistan, they are the actual victims of that.
Yeah, well, the novel is meticulously researched, and it's a really informative novel, as much as it is a great story. How did you go about researching the material? Who did you speak to, and informed your process?
The research was at the same time based. The research was when I was doing the research for America and Afghanistan for my other book, and I was also making notes when I thought, "Oh, this is relevant to my book." So I didn't put down all the sources in the Lone Leopard. I think I've put about 500 or 600 sources. Some of it I just removed. I spoke to Afghans from all walks of life, because between 2010-11, when I started my PhD, and 2015, I traveled numerous times to Afghanistan. I stayed there and I spoke to Afghans from all walks of life. I spoke to Afghans who were in power and had their views about you know, the US foreign policy, about the Taliban, how it was working. And also, Sarah, in the novel in 1992, when the war takes place, for dramatic purposes, I had to have Ahmad. I don't want to spoil the story anyway, but my point is, I also lived for 2 years under the. From there, we had from when the war took place in Kabul, we had to move to a province in Afghanistan. It's called Logar, and Logar is a very. It's next to where the novel sits, Paktia. It's next to there, and it's a very traditional province. Very traditional province. So I lived there for 2 years. So I got to learn a lot more about my culture once I stayed there. I think that also helped me. And then in addition to that, I watched like hundreds of videos on Afghanistan, documentaries, books on Afghanistan, almost a lot of books by Afghans themselves. I read a lot of books, and you know, because the principle of Pashtun Waliyo, the code of honor, you know, all that principles are main aspects of the book. And so this is part of the research. It was a lengthy process, and I carried on after 2018, once my book was published, I carried on more research, especially on Afghan women, who are the powerful Afghan women. I had to do a lot of research on them, speak to people in Afghanistan about them, about their lives. And the thing is, I write in my book as well, I could name those people in power who talked to me. But most of them, what they were telling me, please keep us, you know, don't let our name get public. We're just gonna, once you gave them that promise that, you know, you're not gonna mention your name, just give me the information, they would open up and, you know, and tell you a lot of information that otherwise they wouldn't have if they mentioned their name.
What do you think then are the challenges for writers and novelists sort of trying to approach the topic of Afghanistan, especially in such a, as the political situation is just constantly changing?
Yes. My biggest challenge was language. In terms of knowledge, I didn't have, I mean, I, of course, because of the research I have done, it made it easier for me to establish the characters, what they want, and get into the heart of the characters. My challenge was, of course, the language aspect of it. But that's one thing. And secondly, yeah, you're right. The situation in Afghanistan keeps changing. And sadly, we see, I was talking earlier about the mistakes we've made. And we see the same mistakes being repeated. Now the Taliban are in power, as in that scene between professor and the Talib leader. The professor tells him, one day you will take over Afghanistan, but then the other part will be fighting you, saying that you are not Islamic enough, or you are not, you know, or you are influenced by other governments, or the other governments have occupied us, which is now the case. You know, ISIS is creating trouble in Afghanistan, saying that the Talibans are not Islamic enough in their opinion. The resistance in the north is fighting the Taliban. They are saying that now Afghanistan is occupied by Pakistan. And previously, when they were in power, the Talibans were saying that Afghanistan is occupied by the Americans. So the war continues. People are dying on both sides. They are all Afghan. They are all Afghan. But the sad thing is that, yeah, this is what's been happening. And we are making the same mistakes. We're all Afghans making the same mistakes, just thinking that war is a solution. And war will never be a solution. They will fight for 10, 20 years, and then they will come again and agree on a peace. But all those lives would be wasted, that they've lost their lives, all the country that's going to get damaged even more. It's going to be really sad. So yes, it's not easy to write about Afghanistan at the moment, to be honest with you. You're right, but we writers have to carry on and make the best. Write what we think is for the good of the country and for the good of our people. That is at the center of my main aim, basically, to write to for the betterment of Afghanistan, our people, and for the betterment of human being in general, all human.
I think that's a lovely note to end on. So let's call it there. Thanks again, Sharafullah, for appearing on your USSO cast today, and thanks for talking so candidly and so generously about your new novel. For anybody wanting to read the novel, The Lone Leopard is published by SM Publishing and is available to buy from Amazon. If you wanted to read Sharafullah's academic monograph, America and Afghanistan, that's available to read through Bloomsbury Collections.
Sarah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you for the opportunity.